listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. I am Reverend Nick Phillips, and today we are continuing to look at the power of forgiveness and John 13, verses 1 through 5. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, would you abide with us? Would you be ever present among us, within us, and around us? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had someone do something for you that was just a complete surprise? I remember a while back now, we weren't here that long, probably 2-3 years. We had gone around the Cabot Trail, I think, and we stopped for dinner at a local restaurant. And in the restaurant was another pastor I had met, I think, once before, and we had a very brief discussion. And so we saw each other, we said hello, and he was eating with his wife, and you know, we sat down at our table as a family, and we went about our meals. At the end of his meal, he and his wife got up and came over and shook my hand and said goodbye to us and our family and wished us well, and then he paid the bill. I was shocked, I guess, thankful, of course, but surprised, because this man was essentially a stranger. And I suppose it was his way to support my family and my ministry. I suppose he remembered what it was like years ago when he had started his ministry with his young family, and this was possibly his way to give back, I suppose, into my ministry. I'm sure you all have some sort of story of surprise, where someone's done something just amazing for you. Maybe it was pay for a meal. Maybe it was offering a gift, an unexpected gift, or coming to you in a time of need and helping run errands or something like that. Maybe you even have a story of someone forgiving you, someone you know that came as a great surprise. After a brief hiatus this morning, we're back to talking about forgiveness. We had started this 2 weeks ago. We started discussing the healing power of forgiveness in our lives, of letting go of difficult situations and letting more of Jesus in. If you missed the first sermon in the series from 2 weeks ago and you want to catch up, the audio is on our website. Now, surprises are good, right? Usually they're good. Not all of them, but we like good surprises. And it's extra special if it's something where we're being forgiven for something that maybe we have done to someone else. It's quite possible that we know we hurt someone and we're feeling terrible about it. And we don't feel like we deserve forgiveness. But what a gift it is when someone offers us forgiveness in those moments, maybe when we haven't even asked for it. I'm sure some of us have been there at some point. When we pick up in the Gospel of John this morning, we see Jesus do something very special and completely unexpected. It's not his job to wash the feet of the disciples in that room. That job is for someone who's considered the least of them all, usually a servant of some sort who has to come and wash those dirty, stinky feet. Certainly not a great teacher like Jesus. Yet here we hear in our reading, they walk into the room and Jesus takes off his coat, wraps a towel around his waist, and begins to go around the room washing the feet of his disciples. Why would Jesus do such a thing? Why would he stoop so low to take on a servant's job? Well, we see why when he gets to Peter. Peter says, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." This is just hours before Jesus' death. And what is he doing? He's showing how much he loves his friends. He's removing more than just dirt from their feet. Jesus is removing doubt. Jesus knew what was coming next for each and every one of them in that room. He knew that in the heat of the moment when the soldiers would come to arrest him, they would all abandon him. Judas, he doesn't even get that far. Judas gets up from that table, leaves the room to go and betray Jesus. Yet we see Jesus there washing their feet. Especially, they've been out walking all day in the heat in their sandals, dirty streets, dusty streets, stepping in who knows what, and Jesus washes their feet. Because Jesus knows what's going to happen over the next 24 hours, what he is doing in this moment is loving them and he is forgiving them before they even have the chance to do him any wrong. And later on, in the Passion story, we see that Peter figures it out. He remembers this moment. When Peter has denied Jesus for the third time, just as Jesus will predict he will do, Peter locks eyes with Jesus, and he remembers. All those memories come flooding back about how Jesus said, "You will deny me three times," how Jesus washed his feet and made him clean. He will remember that. And what does he do? He weeps. He remembers all these things, and he weeps. Peter realizes Jesus washed his feet, knowing full well what was going to happen. And he's just overwhelmed with emotion because he gets it. He gets what Jesus did in that upper room. Now, Peter knows he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve such grace and mercy in his life from someone so great as Jesus. He doesn't deserve to be forgiven. But that's exactly what happened. Isn't that amazing? Peter changes after this. And so do the other disciples over time. They realize they have received forgiveness, grace, and mercy from their Lord and their Savior. And while Jesus doesn't have the opportunity to wash our feet, he's still offering that same forgiveness, grace, and mercy to us today. 1 John 1, verses 7 and 9 say this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, kneels before us and peers deep into our hearts. He sees those deep and dark places, and he washes us clean anyway, offering forgiveness, grace, and mercy. When he looks into our hearts and sees what we try to hide, he doesn't jump back in shock. He doesn't recoil in terror. He says, "I love you. Let me help you take care of that." And afterward, Jesus expects his friends, his disciples, and all of us to do the same. After Jesus finishes washing the feet, he says this in John 13:15, "For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you." Now, if you want to go around and wash everybody's feet, go for it. It's a beautiful thing to do. But that's not exactly what Jesus is asking. Ultimately, Jesus is asking us to offer forgiveness and show grace and mercy. And the disciples, they did this. Boy, did they ever. And you know what? We can do it too. Why has Jesus offered this to us? Well, because he's offering us forgiveness, grace, and mercy. More than we can ever know. And we can do the same. Now you might be saying, "I'm not guilty of anything. I've done nothing wrong. So get off my back, Phillips." Maybe you're right. Maybe it isn't your fault. But when you look at Jesus, he wasn't guilty either. He was the only one in the entire room who didn't need his feet washed. He didn't need to be made clean. All the disciples, they're the ones who needed it. They needed to be forgiven. Only Jesus was pure. They needed Only Jesus had never done anything wrong. Yet here he is, being a humble servant, taking on the dirty job of washing the feet. What's extra special about what Jesus has done is that he shows us the best way to mend relationships and bring about reconciliation. And the way to do it is for the stronger person to reach out first. It can't fall to the one who is weaker, the one who is broken and hurting. Jesus shows us it's for the stronger person to do. But we're also reminded that in him we find our strength. Jesus shows us that when we kneel in humble service to others, they get lifted up. But first we need to acknowledge that there is brokenness in our own lives that we need to deal with. I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about three categories briefly, about different ways in which we experience the pain of offense towards us. Next week we'll look at the steps as to how to bring about forgiveness and how to forgive others. Now I know some of you are possibly here carrying a great deal of pain from past hurts. I know this because some of you have shared your stories with me. I also know Jesus wants to help you with your pain. But it will take time. Certainly more than 3 20-minute sermons can do for you. But also know this could be the start of a healing process, a process which may free you from the pain and release you into more of God's care and God's love. And if you need help, I'm more than happy to help you walk through and walk that journey. Just give me a call. We'll set up an appointment and we will look at these things. And I encourage you to take me up on that offer if you need it. This is a thing that is very difficult to do on your own. God wants to see you healed. I want to see you healed. So let's look at those three categories of offense that we feel in our lives. The first thing is the obvious one, the bad things that are done to us. And this includes physical and emotional abuse, even includes sexual abuse. But it also includes many, many other things. Now, when I talk about forgiveness, I'm not saying we're going to forgive and forget. That's not the point. Now, that might be the ideal, but it's not going to happen very often, especially in the big areas of abuse. In the cases of serious abuse, we absolutely cannot move on and forget as if nothing ever happened. If someone was sexually abused, they may choose to forgive the person who raped them, but they should never forget about it. They should never act as if it never happened. That's not healthy either. Scripture does not tell us to forget something like that when it happened and treat that person as like our best friend, especially if they are unrepentant themselves. Forgiveness is not the same as trust. They're very different things. And Proverbs 22:3 gives us a little piece of wisdom about that. It says, a prudent man sees danger and seeks refuge, but the simple person keeps going and will suffer for it. In other words, keep your head up, be watchful, be safe in these types of situations. Take care of ourselves. Don't just automatically trust someone because we have forgiven them. Trust needs to be earned, and it will take time. The second category is for the ways people hurt us. The second category in ways people hurt us is for the good things that people did not do. That sounds strange, but for the good things people did not do. Now, the easy example for this is to look at family dynamics. You may know someone who has said at some point, my parents never said they loved me. Or they didn't listen to me when I said I was hurt or afraid. This is a smaller type of offense than physical or emotional abuse, but it still hurts. There are roles in our community that we expect people to fill. We should be able to expect certain things from certain people around us. We expect our parents to love us. We expect doctors to take care of us. We expect teachers to teach us and possibly keep us safe in the classrooms. But when one of these people don't follow through on what they're expected to do, we are hurt. And sometimes that hurt affects us more than we can ever know. I met a woman in Ontario one time. She's probably about 70 years old now. But when she was in elementary school, they had the fitness tests. And back then what you had to do is you had to go to the front of the class, stand on a scale and write the number down on the board. Doesn't that sound like fun? She was a very tiny woman, girl. And she went up and weighed herself and wrote down the number, and the teacher said, "Is that all?" Probably supposed to be in jest, but she carried that for over 40 years. She was terrified to stand in front of people. She was scared to speak up in public. And then she learned about the forgiveness of God. And she was able to release that memory and receive healing. And now she happily speaks in front of people whenever she gets the chance. It's amazing what God can do through forgiveness to release us from hurts that seem insignificant but have a real impact in who we are as people. The third category that we're going to look at is perceived hurts. What I mean by this is someone hurts us unintentionally. They probably don't even realize they've done it. Now, an example of this might be you're trying to have a deep conversation with someone, but all they're doing while you're talking to them is they're looking at their phone. How does that make you feel? You might feel rejected. You're trying to have a deep conversation with this person, but they seem to be focused elsewhere. So you feel rejected. You feel alone. And they don't even realize they've done it. So the next time you see this person, you might be less likely to be open to them. You might even not talk to them because you feel that they've got no time for you. So that's the third kind of hurt. So with all of these things, it's important to practice forgiveness. And sometimes it's easier to start to deal with those smaller things and build up to the bigger things. Because if we can do it with the small things, we can learn to integrate forgiveness into our daily life, which builds us up and makes us stronger to be able to handle those big things that really may be impacting us. Now, when it comes to forgiving the sources of our hurt, it's not necessary to confront or even to let the other person know that we have forgiven them, especially in those two latter categories. Of you know, the parents or phone, and sometimes it's even too late to forgive that person because maybe they've passed on. So yeah, forgiveness is an inner healing process, and we don't necessarily need to go to the other person unless they have asked us for forgiveness and are waiting for our response. In most cases, though, the incidents are pretty small. And we can simply deal with them and move on with our life and let God do His work through us and in us. If you're not sure what to do, if you need to confront someone to talk about it, then again, give me a call. And we can look into this and help you pray through to a decision. So why should we even bother forgiving anyone? What's the point? The first reason we should be doing this is that Jesus asks us to forgive. In fact, He even commands us to forgive. And what has He taught us to pray that we pray here every Sunday? Forgive us our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us. The second reason we need to forgive is that God wants the best for us. He wants us to know of His great love and His healing power in our lives, in our bodies, and in our spirits. So much so, He sent Jesus to wash us all clean. We are loved by God. We are all capable of being washed clean by the most perfect man to ever walk this earth, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. to hold on to the pain, to withhold forgiveness, well, then we can't be fully washed clean. Jesus will stay kneeling in front of us, and he'll keep trying to wash, but if we hold on to that dirt, it will stay there. We need to be able to release it and let Jesus wash us completely clean. As I said, next week, we'll look at the steps of forgiveness, what it takes to go through it all. You know, what do we need to do? And I look forward to sharing those with you. In the meantime, I'm here. I'm also walking with you on this journey towards receiving the healing power of Jesus Christ in our lives, to receive forgiveness, grace, and mercy from Jesus who offered his life for ours. On the cross, he forgave us all so that we may be with him forever. And that is a gift we can all share and receive in our own lives through the power of his Spirit and the power of his love, his grace, and his mercy. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being such an amazing example of forgiveness, mercy, and grace for us. Thank you for showing us the importance of forgiveness and the power it can have in our lives. We thank you for kneeling down before us and offering to wash us clean. Jesus, we know we don't deserve it, yet here you are, freely offering yourself to us, an offering which will lead you to be a living sacrifice for our lives. So as we continue to consider acts of forgiveness in our own lives, Jesus, would you walk with us? We know, of course, that you will, but sometimes we just need to ask to reassure ourselves that we are never truly alone. Sometimes these areas of forgiveness are harder to manage than we can imagine. And this is why we ask for your help, and also why we know you will help us. So thank you, Jesus, in advance, just as you worked in advance for the disciples, offering them forgiveness, grace, and mercy. And so we thank you for those things in our lives too. Jesus, we pray all of this in thanksgiving in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.